Wow, Kurt Warner and the Cardinals came out and said, "What's my name?"
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground.
Touchdown, Arizona!
That was beautiful! Oh my goodness!
The latest news and notes on the Arizona Cardinals from the guys who cover the team.
Anquan Boldin has put the diaper firmly on their defensive coordinator.
DRC can take off the hood and drop the sickle. This one's over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
Adrian Wilson just ate his liver with fava beans and a fine Chianti.
That'll win you a gig in the NFL.
Larry Fitzgerald. Oh, my goodness.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
Get your rear right back in the locker room.
You know, I'm pretty sure I've got a bone to pick with you guys here on Cardinals Underground. AZCardinals.com. I know 'tis the season and season greetings and all that, but what's the big idea of scheduling this thing at 11 a.m.? I've been setting my wake-up call for noon every day. I've been on vacation. I'm not usually up at this time this week, and somebody had the audacity to do this at this unreal hour of 11 a.m.
Paul, you have two kids. You know doggone well you're up at 6 a.m.
It's vacation week, guys. Dad needs his sleepy time.
Does that work?
This isn't my idea of spending a vacation with you guys, but here we are. Darren Urban, Ron Wolfley, yours truly, Paul Calvisi, Jim Omohundro over there. And we are on the verge. Guys, if I'm holding a chart in my hand like this that reminds me of like college calculus.
Don't do this.
Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I'm trying to figure out what is good, what is bad. What do I need to know, Darren Urban, going into this final regular season game against Green Bay?
What do you need to know?
Yeah, what do I really need to know here?
I think you need to know kickoffs at 2:15 and the rest of it all figure it out itself.
And if I'm looking at this, 6 of the 8 playoff scenarios have the Cardinals playing the Packers again in week one of the playoffs, right?
Right.
Okay.
What is the most likely, though, right? What is the most likely scenario?
Well, you chew on that, Wolf. You know the one that I do like? Take the LY off the end of that. The one I like the most is the Cardinals matching up with the Dallas Cowboys in the playoff opener.
That's the one you like the most?
That's the one I like the most.
You don't like the one where they get the bye in the first round?
No, because, and we'll get to this a little bit, okay. And you guys, maybe we'll get to this right now. You guys weigh in on this. Would the Cardinals fare well with a week of rest? Do you really want the bye, Ron Wolfley?
Beware. Tread lightly here. There be giants here. There be monsters here. I do not like it. I don't know. Look, first of all, if they get the 2 seed, it's an incredible accomplishment. There's no doubt about that. I just don't know mentally. This is just my own opinion. I do not know mentally how it is going to affect this team. Suddenly a 2 seed. We're a 2 seed. You're the 3. You're the 4. Oh, you're the 5 seed. You're the 6 seed. Well, I'm sorry you're the 6 seed. We're the 2 seed. I don't know how mentally we're really collectively as a team equipped to respond to saying, oh, I'm sorry, we're the 2 seed. We have a week off. You're going to have to go out there. We're better than you are. I don't want to sell these guys short, because what they have done and what they have accomplished going back to last year is truly amazing. But I just don't know. Yeah, I'll say it out loud. I don't know how we're going to respond to being a 2 seed and having the week off.
I can't argue with that. And I actually had somebody when I was at the Y the other morning working out, somebody. Football came up. They were showing the highlights of the Vikings loss so that this possibility was still there. And the topic came up, and he was saying the same thing. He was saying, I think that would be the worst thing in the world for the Cardinals if they got a bye. And I don't know. I'm kind of back and forth. I mean, to pass up the 2 seed, and it's not so much getting the bye as much as having that many more opportunities to host playoff games. I mean, right now,
but here's they're going to host one to begin with.
Well, but see, it's not so much that though, Wolf. If you get a bye, you're avoiding one chance to get knocked out.
True.
Period.
Yes.
I mean, we can talk about how we respond, how the Cardinals respond and everything. The bottom line is, if you don't get a bye, you have one more game. You have to win against a good team to advance.
But that means 2 weeks of hearing good things about yourself if you're the Arizona Cardinals. And history has shown, and I know this is a different team and it's a more mature team, and you know, they didn't lose 2 in a row all season long. They went 6-2 on the road, nearly 7-1. Those are all signs of a mature team versus last year. But to spend 2 weeks hearing about you're an 11-win team, and to hear you just got the second seed, and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and recent history, look at last year. There were four teams that got the bye, and three of them lost that first game. The Giants lost, the Titans lost, and who am I missing right now? And the Panthers lost, obviously. Yes. So, thank you, Omo. So, I mean, you look, I understand the concept absolutely. And I quite frankly, I think it's going to be a moot point because I think the Vikings are desperate and they're playing at home and they're playing against a Giants team that has nothing to play for. And I just don't see the Vikings losing at home to the Giants. I just don't see that. And if that obviously happens, then the bye is out the window. But
did you see the Vikings on Monday night, by the way, Darren?
Did
you see that lackluster effort? Nearly first three and a half quarters against Chicago.
I saw a team that scored 30 points. I saw a team that, once they let Brett Favre loose, played pretty well. I'm not discounting them. You can say, did I see the Vikings on Monday? Did you see the Giants on Sunday? When they still had a chance to play for the playoffs and they were closing down Giant Stadium and they laid the biggest egg of all time?
Ding.
So.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, because for the Cardinals during the first round by Ron
Fugazis, remember?
Here's what has to happen. The Cardinals have to beat Green Bay. All right. Dallas has to beat Philadelphia at home.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, that's no lock either.
You know, but you're right. The Giants then having to beat Minnesota. Those three things have to happen for the Cardinals to get the the second seed in the first round.
See,
bye.
I don't think that's really that unlikely, guys. I'm sorry. I don't think it's really unlikely at all. Tom Coughlin is going to have his foot so far up that team's behind that I don't see that as a ridiculous notion, especially since the Minnesota Viking defense, for whatever reason, has gone awry. They are no longer the team that they were earlier in the season, not only because Brett Favre appears to be starting to throw picks down the stretch, but they have totally changed their identity. They have totally gotten away from Adrian Peterson, and their defense is starting to look, well, beatable. And that is what has changed the dynamic.
Maybe there was a certain Sunday night game where the Cardinals exposed the Vikings as a fugazi, and there was the blueprint.
They're not a fugazi.
Okay. But so let's say the Giants beat the Vikings. You're that sure that Dallas is going to beat the Philadelphia Eagles? I know it's in Dallas.
It's not a ridiculous notion at all at home.
I'm not saying it's a ridiculous notion.
The way that the Cowboys are playing? Look, guys, it's a lot better. I look at the scenario right now for the Arizona Cardinals getting the 2 seed, and it's much more probable than the Arizona Cardinals hosting the NFC Championship game last year. It's a lot more probable.
That's true, too.
So which team do you fear the most in the rest of the NFC? That's the money question right now, because you can make a case the Vikings peaked some four or five weeks ago.
And it wouldn't be.
The Saints peaked maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago. I mean, which team do you fear the most?
Here's one of the reasons I would like the number 2 seed on a personal level. Because if you get the number 2 seed, it means there's no chance of you going to Philadelphia for the playoffs. And right now, out of all the scenarios, that's one that concerns me the most, having to go to Philadelphia to play, especially if it's the second round, which is a possibility if the Eagles end up as the 2 seed and the Cardinals end up as the 3 seed and things hold the chalk in the first round, the Cardinals have to go to Philadelphia in the second round.
Not only do the Eagles scare me the most of any team playing right now in the NFC, just because of McNabb and the defense, and now they have the legitimate receiving core. You know, it was a young receiving core a year ago that was talented but still young. Now DeSean Jackson is obviously taking that next step, and he's going to be on the Pro Bowl team right there with Larry Fitzgerald, and we'll get to that in a minute. But the prospect of not only playing the Eagles, but then playing the Eagles in Philly and those January temperatures, that to me by far is the most daunting prospect in the postseason
and
for the Cardinals.
If these two teams meet in the playoffs, especially at Philly, don't you think that they are all they're going to be thinking about is how they blew their chance last year and
absolutely
how they would like payback so bad? I mean, I don't see
them overlooking the Cardinals. Like maybe they claim they did to some degree a year ago. I mean, no chance of that happening this year.
No, I would agree. Philadelphia in Philadelphia is probably the worst case scenario for the Cardinals. But I'm not going to count them out of anything. Team out. And that's why I even hesitate to say what I did about the bye week. But it's true. It's how I feel. I don't know how this team would truly respond to having that week off. Truly respond to being the number 2 seed, looking down on everybody else from on high. I don't know how the players would react to that. But having said that, there's a real possibility they may react to it very, very well. I'm not going to count them out of any game against any opponent. And the reason being is because of the talent on this team. The talent the Arizona Cardinals have on this team, volatile, and nitroglycerin. They are the nitroglycerin of the National Football League. They are dangerous. Handle with care.
You could make the argument, too, that as well as the Eagles are playing, they did let the Broncos back in the game. You could make the argument that the toughest team to play right this moment in the NFC is Green Bay, and they could end up being the sixth seed.
Well, Green Bay has won, what, 6-7? Their only loss was that last-second loss at Pittsburgh in Week 15, right? And yeah. So, and here's what else we know about this whole scenario coming up on Sunday. The early game is going to be Giants-Vikings. So if Minnesota wins that game, automatically Cardinals play the Packers in the first round.
See, when we start doing this stuff, though, when you start looking at this and trying to project, it makes you want to rake your face seat is what it makes you want to do. One thing's for certain, the Cardinals are going to play the Green Bay Packers at 2:15. They're going to know. They're going to know what has happened. They're going to know what they're playing for. What is interesting to me is it's not the game against the Green Bay Packers and the significance of that game. It's how do you prepare throughout the week? Maybe the 2 seed is a possibility. Maybe that 2 seed is coveted. Maybe that's the way that Coach Wiz would love to see this team proceed, to be able to get that 2 seed for all the reasons we've talked about. It is a week off. It is about rest. It is about knowing you're not going to have to go to Philadelphia to play the Eagles. There's a lot of positives to that. But how do you prepare throughout the week? Do you prepare with a game plan to beat the Green Bay Packers so you can get that 2 seed, knowing that there's a real possibility that game isn't really going to matter for the 2 seed? So now you're splitting time. It's almost like you have dual game plans going throughout the week, what you're going to use and what you're going to show against the Green Bay Packers.
Well, and that is – here's the thing, and this is what Wisenhunt was talking to a few of us earlier this week about. I think the way they are going to approach this is you go into this absolutely game planning, like you're playing the starters all the way through and this is a must-win game, period. That's how you go. Now, if you get to game day and you decide you're going to pull some guys out, that's one thing. If you get to game day and decide I'm not going to call half my play sheet, you know, I'm going to pull back on this play, this or whatever, because I don't want to show all this stuff because now it doesn't matter as much. I think that's what happens. But what Wisenhunt basically told us Monday that he can see it being a game time decision. It'll be, we're going to look up and we're going to see what's going on with Minnesota. And I don't know, you know, look, I'm not in the inside as much as you were, Wolf. You would understand that better than me. But that's basically what he left us with.
I think it's the right way to proceed. You know, Coach Wiz, once again, this guy knows what he's doing. It's the right way to proceed. Proceed with the idea that this game is going to mean something. And it's going to mean something big. And maybe you've got that opportunity to get that 2 seed. That's the way to proceed, knowing that you can always pull back. You can't ramp up. The problem is the players throughout the week in preparing, they know what's going on as well.
Sure.
The mixed messages that they're receiving, not from Coach Wiz and the coaching staff, but from the playoff scenarios that are out there right now, those immediately are sending mixed messages about the importance of this game and what you want to show against the Green Bay Packers, knowing that there's a real good chance you're gonna face them the next week in wild card weekend. That just mentally, I don't even know how to get my thoughts around that as a broadcaster, let alone a player.
The Packers don't – here's the thing. The Packers are in the same situation even more so perhaps because they've got nothing to play for. I mean, they're a wild card team. They're going on the road in the first round. I mean, I don't – at least the Cardinals have something. The Cardinals could say, hey, even if the Vikings win, we could still be a 3 seed in that – what do the Packers have to play
for? Well, McCarthy so far won't tip his hand whether he's going to actually play this thing for real. I mean, he won't even give a hint as to whether he's going to treat this as an exhibition game or not. Here's my question, though, guys, is – okay – let's say you're Mike McCarthy or Coach Wisenhunt and you decide to hold back and you're not going to, you know, nothing's really going to change come game time. So you're going to treat it more like an exhibition game than you would a regular season game. You're not going to show very much. I mean, how much left is there to show? I mean, you have 15 other regular season games to go back and study. This isn't like it's week one or two of the NFL season, Wolf. So that, to what degree is that really a concern for a head coach, how much they might show in the 16th game of the season?
Well, it's not really about showing your hand as much as it's about showing what you believe about their team and how we need to attack your
clever.
Team. How we need to attack your team offensively and how our defense needs to attack your offense. So it's not about, it's not just about you mm-hmm. and showing the stuff that you do. When you, every time you, if you, for example, you line up and you come with Sticky Sam against Aaron Rodgers. You go ahead and you put nine guys on the line of scrimmage. You got corners playing man out there. No safety in the middle of the field. No help. Here we come. You're telling Mike McCarthy and the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers, if you were giving him a steady diet of that, you're telling them something about what you believe about them. See, this is why this game is so intriguing, because you could almost go ahead and line up and do everything you're not going to do the next week and line up and literally say, this is the way, okay, we, Aaron Rodgers, we don't think you can handle Sticky Sam, so we're not going to do it. We're going to rush four. We're going to rush three. We're going to play cover two. That's what we're going to do this week. We're going to do that because we really think if we get after you, hey, Aaron, you're not going to be able to handle it. But here's the problem with that. What happens if your plan, the plan that really wasn't the plan that you were holding back for the wild card weekend, what happens if that works against Aaron Rodgers? Now do you go back to the drawing board during wild card week preparation? You go back and say, hey, cover two, rushing four, really worked well, especially when we went two man. See, I mean, guys, this is...
There's an Abbott and Costello who's on first in here somewhere, this, is what there is.
But do you see the difficulty here? Yeah. It's not only about you, it's about what you believe about your opponent. That's what it means about showing your hand. Not just about what you want to focus on and what you think you do well. It's also about what we believe about you and your football team, Mr. Cheesehead.
That was an unexpectedly insightful answer to my question.
That was actually really good, actually.
I know what Jim Almondra was thinking over there. Calvisi, give up the NFL Network mic flag to Wolfley at this very moment. I won't do it, and I'm going to keep going here on Cardinals Underground.
That's why, how many times do you hear me say during a broadcast, the first third down, look at the first three third downs. These coaches sit around all week long. They watch reams and reams and hours of film, and they break it down. The quality control coach, personnel, down and distance, formation. They absorb this stuff, and then they come up with a plan that they think is the best plan to beat you, and they practice it, and they game plan it all week long. It immediately tells you what a team thinks about you based on certain situations, scenarios, down in distances. They'll tell you what they believe about you as a football team right from the first quarter on. That's why they've got a lot of people that watch that stuff, and they're up in the booth and they're writing this stuff down saying, okay, this is what they believe about us as a football team, offensively, defensively, and in transition. Now we've got to make adjustments, and that's where the halftime adjustments are so critical.
So what do we think about the Green Bay Packers, gentlemen? Because I'll be honest with you, looking at them here in the last 24 hours, very surprised to see they are top five in total offense and total defense. Their quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, who I think we were all very impressed with in week three of the preseason, is a Pro Bowler.
Yep.
Not a surprise to any of us who saw him there and back in August, right?
And who the heck thinks week three of the preseason is just some game?
So go ahead and crown them as a playoff team, the Green Bay Packers. Where would you attack this Packer team? Anybody care to venture to guess? Where is the weak spot in this Packer team?
Well, Al Harris is one of their better cornerbacks, and he's out right now. And I think there's some concern in that secondary. Besides Charles Woodson, who is a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year, but he's one guy. And with the number of receivers the Cardinals have, I do think there's some hay that can be made there, assuming, of course, you protect Kurt Warner. And we've already talked about that about a zillion times. Hey, Levi Brown's an alternate Pro Bowler, by the way. And anyways, so, you know, I think I think if the passing game can do some things, and again, I don't know if we're talking about for this weekend or if we're talking about next weekend, because, you know, we don't know how the Cardinals are going to play it. But, you know, go back to the Pittsburgh game. I mean, they gave up a ton of yards through the air to Ben Roethlisberger. I mean, I don't want anybody thinking that this team is a juggernaut. They're 10-5. They've got some holes. They've been playing better lately. They've been running the ball better lately.
Yeah, five rushing touchdowns against Seattle, right?
No, their Achilles heel defensively might be that secondary. Their Achilles heel on offense, no question, is their offensive line. Aaron Rodgers can get to Aaron Rodgers. Now, the problem is if you don't, he's going to shred you. And that's where the running game has helped them, is because I think that's taken some of the pressure off of Rodgers.
But their offensive line has started to get more healthy, too, mm-hmm. as the season has rolled around here. Chad Clifton is getting a lot more healthy. He's been back in the lineup, and that has helped them tremendously. Tauscher as well. He's gotten back into the mix. They're a better offensive line now. Protection isn't nearly the concern that it was in the first half of the season. Is it still great? No, it is not great. You go ahead and look at the stats on their offensive line. How many times Aaron Rodgers has been sacked or knocked down? It is staggering. It is staggering when you pull these numbers up and you look at it. If they have an Achilles heel offensively, it's still their offensive line. It's still their offensive line, but I don't know if you could flip it over and say, what is the Achilles heel of the Arizona Cardinals offense? I think you'd probably say it's still their offensive line, and it's about protecting Kurt Warner and being able to do that. Defensively, I agree with Darren. Defensively, it's about throwing the ball against them. I could see Kurt Warner throwing the ball, provided we could protect him. And Aaron Kampman being out is a big deal.
That's a huge deal.
Because Aaron Kampman plays their left defensive end, which is over Levi Brown. And we know Levi from time to time has had some problems.
He's a Pro Bowl alternate.
Some edge guys. And I'm ignoring that, Paul. Your little shot there. Okay, I'm ignoring that and I'm moving along. I think it's attack the Packers through the air. Which makes me think if the game is really insignificant, we might see Beanie Wells and Tim Hightower with season highs for attempts in this game. We might see the Cardinals run the ball 50 times. I have no idea.
You might see Dan Kreider with 17 carries in this thing. I mean, who knows? So is Green Bay number one against the run? This is the other thing I found surprising. Green Bay was 26 a year ago against the run defensively. This year they're number one. Is that because teams go after them through the air? Because they're suspect in the secondary, are they legitimately a number one rushing defense?
I don't think you can be number one without having some legitimacy, but I do think some of that is added in is because teams can go after them through the air. I don't think there's any question. I mean, this defense gave up, again, 37 points to Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago. So
and try to remember that the Green Bay Packers are a good football team. They're a good football team, and they have been able to light it up. You were mentioning their offense. How good their offense has performed under Aaron Rodgers and company this year. They've had a lot of leads, which means people will throw the ball and they're not going to run the ball as much. A better stat is look at the average yards per carry. Go look at that. That's a lot more meaningful when you're trying to decipher or determine whether or not a team is good against stopping the run. What do they give up every time you hand the ball off? What is the average yards per carry?
I just remember back in August, our Rob Moore watching that game in preseason and saying, look, other than the Cardinals, this team has the deepest, the best receiving core in the NFL. When you talk about Jennings and Donald Driver and the tight ends, and then, you know, Aaron Rodgers pulling the trigger on that thing. So it'll be, by the way, Mike McCarthy says he will not stay in the AZ if that ends up being the first round playoff matchup. He will go back in the name of routine for his players, which is probably smart for them.
I think it's a brilliant move. And as part of the group that was back east for between games last year, I can see why there's not a whole lot of upside to staying in one place.
All right. So how about the Pro Bowl here, Darren Urban? Darnell Dockett, starter. Larry Fitzgerald, starter. You got Adrian Wilson, starter. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie on the team. Ben Graham not on the NFC Pro Bowl squad.
Yeah, I mean, to me, that was the biggest surprise. And I got to be honest, not completely out of left field, because Andy Lee's had a pretty good year. He's got a good reputation. And when you only got one punter going – And I know it's the punter, and I know some people are like, it's the punter, but I do think Ben Graham deserved to be there. And I agree with Wisenhunt yesterday, which was, we don't need, as a team, we don't need that validation, but it would have been nice, and it was deserving. And, you know, I think the rest of them too, you know, the guys that didn't make it, there's some guys that are alternates, but I don't think anybody around here can really argue who made it and who didn't. I think the guys who made it really should have made it, other than Ben, didn't get in. And I think the guys that are alternates deserve to be alternates, but I can understand why they didn't make the team.
Now, I will say this. I was on the 49ers website today, just kind of reading how they were promoting Andy Lee being in the Pro Bowl, and they had a video, kind of a cool deal. They were in Mike Singletary's office, and they had him making the calls to their Pro Bowler, saying congratulations, all that stuff. He called Andy Lee, and it seemed like he needed to really convince him, like, yeah, I'm serious, because it was only a one-sided conversation. You could only hear Singletary's part, but you can only guess what was on the other end. Andy Lee, in my opinion, was asking, are you serious? Am I like an alternate or a backup? And Singletary said, no, you're a starter. You are a starter. So that leads me to believe that Andy Lee thought Ben Graham was going to go to the Pro Bowl.
You know, there's an old adage in the National Football League in regard to the Pro Bowl, and I think it still exists. It still applies. It certainly did when I was playing back in 1985 to 95. But, you know, you typically would go to the Pro Bowl a year later than you should have, and you'd hang around probably a year or two longer than you should. And I don't know if that still applies, but I do know that there are a lot of politics. You would be stunned. And it was one of the things that as a team captain, I took a stand on many, many times. And I was happy to say that I didn't get a lot of resistance from a lot of the players in the locker room, and a lot of captains stood up with me on this. But there's a lot of politics that go into picking a Pro Bowl player. For example, if you've got a guy on your team, let's take Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin is a guy that is deserving to go to a Pro Bowl. But now you've got another receiver that, well, you know what, he's going to get a lot of attention, and Anquan being hurt and missing some games, you know, he's still got a chance to make the Pro Bowl. Let's make sure we don't vote for, DeSean Jackson, where everybody's going to be voting for him, or somebody maybe less than DeSean Jackson, maybe a Marcus Colston or somebody like that. Let's vote for him. Let's vote for somebody so that our vote isn't going to be propping up one of these guys that will be competing with Anquan Boldin. So maybe Anquan will have a shot of getting in there. There's a lot of that will go on. Now, I'm not saying that's what went on here with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you what other guys have told me from other teams, that this is the way they would do it. And to me, it's an outrage. What it ought to be is, whom was the best player at that position? Forget about your team. It's not about your team or your guys. It's about the other team. Who was it and who was it not? And then you vote accordingly.
My sources are reporting the Cardinals as a team voted for Bryant Johnson with just that in mind, trying to hope get Anquan Boldin in. Oh, no, we made that up. We do know this, that the Cardinals defense, according to Bertrand Berry, all voted for Steven Jackson. So yeah, he made it. Okay. A couple other factoids. I don't know if you guys are aware, you saw these headlines from the Pro Bowl voting. Look out for Cincinnati in the AFC playoffs, says Paulie Pigskin. They didn't get a single Pro Bowl player. And you know they're going to internalize that.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
You know they're going to rally around that, the Bengals, right? Minnesota got 8 Pro Bowlers. Julius Peppers, gentlemen, you realize he got a $1.5 million bonus for making his fifth Pro Bowl?
Well, you know, he needs that money.
Yes, because his 2009 salary is now $18.2 million after his nice Pro Bowl bonus. It's good to be Julius Peppers in 2009.
Yes,
it is. Let's put it that way. And then, speaking of numbers, you had Adrian Wilson, 2020. And how nice was that to see? How nice was it to see Larry Wilson in the building, in the house at University of Phoenix Stadium? And I asked Adrian after the game about, you know, meeting up with Larry and having a conversation on the field. And I mean, not only was it one of the first times in a long time I've seen Adrian smile, but you could tell how meaningful it was to him because A-Dub, and I know you had this conversation with him about a month ago, you and a couple of the writers, right, Darren? Right. I mean, it is very meaningful to him, and he wants to see his name in the Ring of Honor, ultimately.
This is, Adrian is classic. He downplays everything he tries to do. We talked to him, Omo and I saw him right before the Detroit game. We were talking to him about the getting it that day, and you know, he's like, I'm not going to get it today. We got to cover Calvin Johnson, but he downplays everything because after the game, I'm like, you know, you're still half sack short when he split the one with Clark. Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, I'm not tripping on that. Yeah, you're tripping on that. You were tripping all over yourself all on it the whole time. When he got to within the sack, which was how many weeks ago, I remember walking to him. We were on a road. I forget where we were going, but wherever it was, we were going on a road trip. And I was going out to the bus. And Adrian never goes out early to the bus. I mean, because we have to get out there more than a half hour early. And he walks out, and I'm like, he goes, I'm early today. It was just the two of us. And I'm like, I said, yeah, you are early. I said, what is that? He goes, I am so nervous. Why are you nervous? He goes, this whole sack thing. And he goes, I need to get this sack. That was right after this happened. That was weeks ago. That was whatever it was, six or seven games ago. He can downplay it all he wants. I think this was hugely important to him, and deservedly so, because I think he's earned a lot of everything everybody's been saying about him. He's had a great career. We've talked about this many, many times. I think he's the perfect example of what this franchise would like to have in a player, not only with how he plays and how he carries himself, but what he was saying. You know,
that's the first thing Coach wasn't excited when I asked right. him in the post-game interview locker room was the way Adrian goes about his job as a professional.
After the game. With everything that's happened with Darnell talking about his contract and Anquan talking about his contract and what they say or don't say about the organization, and I know, you know, Adrian was taken care of, it's easier for him to be grateful. But, you know, as he's talking about this 2020 thing, he's saying, I enjoy the fact that I got to do it with these men in this locker room, the guys I've been around. And he goes, I think it says a lot for the guys that I play with. And he goes, I think it says a lot for general manager Rod Graves for the team he's put together and for Michael Bidwell for the team that he's, you know, paying. And I think that was classy of him to include the front office and ownership in that. I think it was classy for him to include his teammates. He brought up Anquan breaking the all-time receptions record for the franchise. I just think, you know, everything, again, Adrian tries to downplay himself. Incredibly important to him. But it's important to him not just for himself, but for everybody.
And I think in along those veins that you're bringing up right now, I think that it was really classy and cool what the organization and what the coaching staff in that game did to get Adrian Wilson over that 20 yes. sack mark. I thought yes. it was really, it tells you what they think of him as not a football player, but him as a man and as a person. To go ahead when you're winning 31-10, you're up by 21 points, and you've got Adrian Wilson not only out there on the field, but you came with a couple of zone blitzes that included A-Dub. You came with it. He didn't get it. He came with it. He didn't get it. Then you say to yourself, hey, what do you say we go cover zero? What do you say we go cover zero? That's man across the board. Bring the kitchen sink. We'll go after the Rams and Keith Null, and we'll put A-Dub on the outside. They could gap it up all they want. We're going to have a free hitter. It's probably going to be Adrian Wilson, depending on the protection. Let's roll the dice. We'll play. We'll take all safeties out of the mix, take them out of the middle of the field, go man, and try to get A-Dub over the 20 sack mark. That told me everything I needed to know about what this coaching staff and what the organization feels about Adrian Wilson, and they got it for him.
And that's a great way to wind up this edition of Cardinals Underground. A little shout out to the coaching staff, because here's your holy cannoli stat of the week. As you know, regardless of what happens or doesn't happen in the playoff picture and against the Packers, the Cardinals now have a 10-win season, Darren Urban. I don't yes. know if you crunch these numbers. I know I still got this chart over here from you and Mark Dalton over here, okay? In the 33 years since the Cardinals last won 10 games, 1976, care to venture how many times they have lost 10 games?
Wolf?
No, let's see.
So this is all pre-Ken Wisenhunt and his staff.
Sure, yes.
Since 1976 and pre-Ken Wisenhunt, How many times the Cardinals had lost 10 games?
I was on one team in 7 years here that lost nine. I think I lost 10, six of those 7 years.
Yeah, I'm going to go with, it's got to be like 15, right?
18, close. 18 times in the 33 years since they last won 10 games.
Yikes.
They lost 10 games. So there's your little Coach Wisenhunt shout out.
Most amazing thing is University of Phoenix Stadium has changed the paradigm for this organization. There is no doubt about it. And it was one of the reasons why it was critical that that thing was built and is here now. Because it has allowed them to compete and garnish the revenue streams that the rest of the National Football League has been enjoying for 15, 20 years. Having said that, Ken Wisenhunt and his staff and what he has done, and the organization from top to bottom has upped its game. Now, you can point to University of Phoenix Stadium and say that's the reason why. But from top to bottom, I think the organization has really upped its game, from the scouting department, from Rod Graves, Michael Bidwell, getting very, very involved on the daily activities of the organization. Ken Wisenhunt, the hiring of Ken Wisenhunt, he has not had a losing season in 3 years that he's been here. Yeah, let that hang.
And don't let it go without mentioning the broadcast department here as well at the Cardinals Central, in particular, Paulie Pigskin, who has just gone 20-20 himself. That's 20 podcasts this season and 20 beatdowns of Darren Urban, Ron Wolfley, and Jim Omohundro. Paul Calvisi saying, we'll talk to you next time. Playoffs are right around the corner on azcardinals.com.
Playoffs?